2023 began in dramatic fashion with the resignation of Jacinda Ardern. Political parties are now focusing their sights on October's general election. The relationship between Māori and the Crown and how different parties would approach arrangements of co-management, co-governance and potentially devolution of power to iwi and hapū is a debate only set to intensify.
There is room to hear the voices of the politicians, but what we want to hear is the truth of the politicians.
I think we can be led and we can engage in proper debates in this country. And I think what I've seen in reaction to some of my, our position, say, on co-governance, is you end up with some lazy, sort of baseless accusations of racism, frankly, being thrown around that are really unhelpful.
I find just talking about, co-governance as a very broad concept actually isn't that fruitful because it doesn't mean a lot to people unless it's attached to a particular context.
Our forefathers, our tupuna, had forewarned about the relationship and about the impetus on us to continue to hold the Crown to account.
It's an important conversation with a fundamental question at its core. Is the current way of doing things delivering the best possible outcomes for all New Zealanders? You don't have to look far to see that is not the case. So how to do better and how to address the entrenched inequities for Māori and Pacifica across education, health, justice or other social services without further inflaming racial tensions. Kia ora koutou, haere mai, welcome back to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. This week we look at co-governance and Māori Crown relations, the debate, the implications and the role of our politicians. A symbolic handover at Ratana in late January. Jacinda Ardern attending her last official outing as Prime Minister alongside her successor, Chris Hipkins.
Welcome on the matter of today and indeed of tomorrow, and that is to commemorate the signing of this child.
Next, to the birthplace of Te Tiriti o Waitangi in the north. Always a time for scrutiny of the government, its ministers and other political leaders, intensifying as the country readies for October's general election. The politicians were welcomed on to Te Whare Runanga, where they'd been encouraged to keep it constructive and keep the politics out of their kōrero.
To the many peoples of Ngāpu, be strong. Be strong in your determination to struggle against this house.
It is a great privilege to be here in my first time as leader of the National Party and on this hallowed ground, this very special place, the birthplace of our nation.
Ngā kōrero, porapiti, anei anō ngā kākariki, mō ngā kōrero, pūtai ao.
Ko Waitangi te awa, ko Tōwhira te marae, ko Ngāti Rehia te hapu, ko Ngāpui te iwi. Ko David Seymour aho.
We acknowledge that 183 years ago, people gathered here to do something very, very bold. To chart a course forward, not via conquest, but by working together.
This Waitangi is a far cry from some past commemorations, including in the mid-2000s when National got a major boost in public support after then-leader Don Brash's infamous Oriwa address.
The dangerous drift towards racial separatism in New Zealand and the development of the now entrenched treaty grievance industry.
It divided the nation, sent Helen Clark's Labour government into a panic over race-based policies, and was one event alongside the seabed and foreshore controversy that would lead to a new political movement.
When you march must restore confidence to ourselves to shout out loud and clear that we are proud to be Tangata Whenua. We are proud to share this land with Tauiwi, and we are committed to the best interests of all New Zealanders. You have demonstrated that pride in your momentous support for this hīkoi and for the right of peace protest against the proposed confiscations and the violation of our human rights. You have demonstrated that pride in a call for a Māori political movement from out of which will come a Māori party. The next hīkoi will be the one to the ballot box.
New Zealand became a signatory to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples in 2010 under John Key's national government. A decade later, this Labour government found itself under fire when work being done in response, Her Pūpua, was leaked, becoming a lightning rod for opposition attacks, including from Judith Collins, who led National into the 2020 election, wanting a please explain from Minister Willie Jackson.
The latest thing National has revealed about the government's Here Pūpua report relates to the conservation estate.
Do you really think that this government is trying to introduce separatism by stealth, given the speech that you made the other day?
Yes, I do, actually. I think it's very clear. The Here Pūpua document, which was not released fully without redaction, we just happened to get a copy of it, and was very clear, and it was a very worrying document until, and even more worrying when we saw that some of these recommendations are already being implemented. I think it's time for a national discussion and conversation for New Zealanders to work out where they want to see this going, and what is the end result, what does this look like, and people need to have an upfront discussion, and the Prime Minister needs to front up on it and give some straight answers.
I've got a big process to go through. I've got to circulate this with Cabinet. And then after that, we have to lay down a strategy in terms of the public. We want the public buying into this. We want, this is about future partnerships. This is about our, you know, what we're going to do in terms of, you know, the country, the future. You know, what's the partnership like? What are Indigenous rights all about? So there's so much to do. It's not about just circulating a document, and then you start doing that, and then you get the irresponsible behaviour of National, which is clearly not the party of John Key anymore. National, who supported so many Māori issues like Kohanga Reo, treaty settlements process, it's unbelievable the type of issues they've supported. And you know, they take everything out of context. We want to do this in an orderly manner and honour our obligations in terms of the United Nations.
Back at Waitangi, politics were never far away, with questions for the new Prime Minister, Chris Hipkins, about how his government intends to handle both the debate around issues like co-governance and the implications for Aotearoa New Zealand and how it's run.
What I've said, of course, previously is that co-governance can be applied very differently in different contexts, and self-determination can also be applied differently in different contexts. And one of the challenges that we've had, Jane, is that because we've been doing so many different things, actually we probably haven't created the space to make sure people understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that has absolutely, I think, been a lesson for us over the last 5 years, and it's something that we have all reflected on, and you'll see some change in that regard.
Can we expect you to change the sort of language that you're using then when you talk about co-governance?
I think you can expect greater clarity for us about what we're talking about in a particular context, why we're talking about it, why we're doing it.
Can you start now? I mean, what does co-governance mean in your perspective?
Well, like I said, it's about working together, but how we work together will mean that we'll look different in different situations.
He warned against whipping up racial tensions for political gain.
Where there is uncertainty, where there is a lack of clarity, that can lead to fear. Politicians who use that fear or exploit that fear in order to try and, you know, gain political advantage really need to reflect on their own actions. That's something that my government will never do.
He'd just come from a meeting of iwi leaders at Waitangi. One present, Tuku Morgan, said Chris Hipkins and his ministers had been given a strong message.
We would want a very clear and unfettered response and commitment from this government that they're not going to walk away, nor are they going to throw us under the bus for their own political means.
After Sunday's porphyry, Mr. Hipkins was again asked to clarify what he meant when he talked about co-governance.
Are we going to go back and remove all of the co-governance arrangements that were put in place by the last national government through the treaty settlement process? No, of course we're
not. Does it actually mean different things? I mean, isn't part of the problem that it's been used to describe a whole lot of different situations and arrangements that aren't co-governance?
Ultimately, I think the fundamental question is, are we going to continue to work together? Yes.
The Greens co-leader Marama Davidson laid out her party's position.
Te Tiriti is about honouring tino rangatiratanga, control for Māori over their lands, resources and community, and that's why yesterday we announced and called for an end to perpetual leases as ending over 100 years of injustices.
ACT leader David Seymour hit back at accusations from the Greens his speech, delivered wholly in Te Reo, was racist and inflammatory.
Well, it's Marama, isn't it? If she listened carefully to my speech, I said, kia whakatika te hapa o mua. That is to fix the rights of wrongs of the past. So that was actually one of the three points I made about ex-belief in the treaty. Perhaps she would have liked me to have made it flowerier and over several more sentences, but it was certainly there.
Speaking to RNZ's Marnie Dunlop, National's Christopher Luxon explained his party's position.
Yeah, we are very supportive of co-management arrangements. But if you think about it's a great example we've got up and down this country now where local iwi and local government in the context of treaty settlements are managing natural resources and taonga incredibly well, and we've had much better outcomes as a consequence of that. That's consistent with Article 2. It's consistent with New Zealand, National Party's values of localism and devolution. But when it comes to the provision of national public services from a government that's accountable to all New Zealanders and is that those services are designed to deliver to people in need, we think the better way is to actually have a single system of delivery, but we can have massive amounts of innovation in that system to make sure we are delivering those services to the communities that desperately need them.
Can you, I guess, give listeners assurances that you won't use race baiting or the co-governance argument in order to get political gain from the right?
Well, I think we are a really intelligent country. I think we can be led and we can engage in proper debates in this country. And I think what I've seen in reaction to some of my, our position, say, on co-governance, is you end up with some lazy, sort of baseless accusations of racism, frankly, being thrown around that are really unhelpful, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm having a conversation to say I'm interested in the ends of advancing all Māori and all non-Māori. I want every New Zealander flourishing in this country. The means by which I do that may be different, and it is. I've been really upfront, and I'm not being disingenuous about it. I'm saying to you, and I've been saying for the last year, we don't support the co-governance of public services. But don't misinterpret that we're not invested or aspirational or ambitious for Māori in New Zealand. We want Māori to succeed. That's why I want to, resolve the treaty settlements, and then let's go forward. Let's work out where else we go to and what else we can achieve and do together.
Chris Hipkins has already executed the first phase of a policy reset, scrapping the RNZ TVNZ merger and kicking hate speech reforms and an income insurance scheme to touch. But he still has a gnarly political problem on his hands, Three Waters. Much of the debate over co-governance has been driven by the policy aimed at overhauling New Zealand's drinking waste and stormwater systems. Mr. Hipkins has promised a rethink, but Māori leaders, as expressed here by Peter Tipene and Margaret Mutu, warn the government against abandoning the current level of iwi representation for political expediency.
Doing that sort of thing would be a step backwards, because at the end of the day, what you need in this country, and the last week in Auckland has been just such a good demonstration of this, is you need the best minds, the best experience, the best expertise in the country addressing the horrific problems we have around the management of fresh water. And included in that expertise is the centuries of knowledge that each hapū around the country has in respect of the water in their area. And you can't plan water management in this country based on 3-year electoral cycles. It has to be a 50-year, a 100-year planning cycle, which is what Māori work within. So they can change the name if they want to change the name, but at the end of the day, you don't toss out the expertise that is here in this country to ensure that what happened in Auckland, what's been happening in the Te Rāwhiti, what's been happening over the country in terms of the results of mismanaging our water does not continue.
Peter, what is your view on that? Would a move away from a 50-50 co-governance model in that piece of legislation be acceptable for many Māori?
It would be unacceptable. As Tukun Morgan said at the National Iwi Chairs and directed it at the Prime Minister, ultimately this is about pipes under the ground. People are beating things up, and in fact, Chris Hipkin said at the parliamentary porphyry that there are those who choose to exploit the uncertainty of darkness. He is saying that there are those who are fanning the flames of race here in New Zealand to garner votes in the upcoming election, and that's very unfortunate.
Labor's trying to reposition itself in the centre after losing support throughout last year, getting back to the basics and presenting as small a target as possible for an opposition hungry to take power in October. Chris Hipkins will be looking to lay out Labor's position on co-governance and the Māori-Crown relationship to give clarity to what's become a confusing and potentially dangerous debate. Many will be looking on to see what he's willing to sacrifice or to defend as he charts a new course. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.